I'm standing on the promises. I'm standing on those promises. I'm standing on the promises of God. He'll not let the enemy rob me of my victory, 'cause I'm standing on the promises of God. For God said in his holy word, commit thy way to me, I will make it all come to pass. But you must believe to receive, and if you doubt, then you'll do without. So I say to you, oh, here's what you're to do. You stand upon those promises of God. You stand upon the promises. Stand upon the promises. You stand upon promises of God. He'll not let the enemy rob you of your victory. So stand on the promises of God. 'Cause God said in his holy word, commit thy way to me, I will make it all come to pass. But you must believe to receive. If you doubt, then you'll do without. For I say to you, oh, here's what you're to do. You stand upon those promises of God. Stand upon the promises. Stand upon the promises. Oh, stand upon the promises of God. He'll not let the enemy rob you of your victory. You stand upon promises of God. You stand upon the promises of God.
All right, Exodus, the third chapter. We will begin with verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert, and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush, and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Our subject today is barefoot before God, as we see in verse 5. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. And the first thing that we would see from this is to be barefoot or without shoes, first of all, means separation from the world. And literally that was true in the case of Moses, as he would put off the defilement of his former walk down in Egypt, and of course also in the foreign land wherein he had built. The Apostle Paul says it this way in Ephesians 4:22, that you put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And again, you have put off the old man with his deed. That's in Colossians 3:8. But as we have seen so many times, it is true as we see here, and the glorious plan of redemption is always out of and into. There are many in our world who want to separate from this and that and something else, but we find out in our Christian experience, unless we separate to, then we lose out on the great victory that God has given to us. And so We find here that Moses is in his bare feet, so to speak, and he is separated to. He is separated to a holy land, as we read even here, that we find him in the mountain of God there, in the first verse, I believe it is. And so it is a matter of being separated to. And I want to see seven major things that Moses was separated to in this experience without shoes. The first one, as we find here in verse 5, the land or the ground whereon thou standest is holy ground. We begin to see and experience the very holiness of God. God said in another place, I will be sanctified in those that come nigh me. The context of that is with Nadab and Abihu, after they offered strange fire unto the Lord, and God absolutely consumed them for their error. God will be sanctified in anyone coming nigh him. We see this same pattern at Calvary, where that God was sanctified, or he was made holy, he was set apart by the very judgment that was poured out upon Christ when he became sin for us. Horeb, this mountain, actually expresses the very holiness of God. This is where the law was given. And we read that the law was holy and just and good. And there are no many in our world today who believe that the law was sent down to make us righteous. Just follow this as well as you can and everything will be all right. But that's not what the Scripture says. The law, though it was holy and just and good, was not able to make man that way. The law succeeding in doing exactly what God said it would. Show up sin exceeding sinful. God wanted men to know how desperately bad and evil they were, and he wanted them to know that they needed Jesus. The law can never make us holy. And I want to notice here in this circumstance that we have, this scene that we have with Moses, he was in no wise made perfect and holy by the law. But this brings us to our second point. God said in Leviticus 19:2, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Peter quoted from that in 1 Peter 1:16 when he said, be ye holy, for I am holy. We want to see how that we are actually made holy in the very presence of God. The fact is that we are made holy the moment we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That holy thing, that holy life of Christ is placed in us at the new birth. We are holy babes in Christ. But you see, God intends that we should have more than that. God wants us to be men of God. And that tells us of experience. And this is where we will trace the experience of Moses in this little narrative of here. We find later on that Moses is called a man of God. And he certainly did deserve that identification. As we abide in his presence, we are likewise made holy by experience. You shall be holy, God said, for I am holy. And as we spend time in his presence, then we see that we also are made holy by experience. The third one, coming to God with no shoes on means we're not going anywhere. It speaks of an abiding place. We contrast this with Exodus, the 12th chapter in verse 11, when God was giving instructions for the Passover, and he said this, eat it in haste, with your loins girded and shoes on your feet. He wanted them to be ready to make a quick departure when he was ready to lead them out of the land of Egypt. There was no time to lose, so you need to have your shoes on so you can make this quick exit. But here God says, no shoes. And the reason is because he is telling Moses, I want you to stay as long as I deem necessary for you to stay. And the same thing happens in our experience when we come into the presence of God barefoot, so to speak. We are not trying to run out on our own agenda. We are not trying to do our own thing. We are ready to wait on the Lord until he deems it necessary for us to continue our walk. This brings us to the fourth thing that we see in verse 10. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. When we abide in God's presence, God will also give us an invitation to join his program, to join his way, his purpose. And so we read, come now. And that's exactly what he means. Now, time is of the essence for you. It is time for you to submit to me. Come now, you notice, and then I will send you unto Pharaoh. God had a purpose for Moses. We have seen again and again, God has a purpose for every member of the body of Christ. But we must abide in his presence, barefoot, so to speak, in order that we have time to listen to what God wants to do. When we indeed do not rush out once again to complete our own agenda. It is imperative that we abide in his presence. Then we come to the fifth thing that we want to see in verse 11. And Moses said unto God, who am I? This is a place of honesty and self-examination. Moses is a different man than he was when he came out of Egypt. Moses had his own agenda. Moses was so strong in himself, he knew exactly what he wanted to do and how to do it. He had the desire to bring these people out from the bondage of the Egyptians, but he thought the way to do that was simply to kill the Egyptian that was oppressing them. God knew that would never work. God had his way of delivering from the land of Egypt, and it would not be by the self-effort and the power of Moses. And so he had to humble this man on the backside of the desert for 40 years. And at the end of that time, it's Moses saying, who am I that I could do such a thing? It is this time that we have that self-examination in our own lives, realizing our own weakness, our own frailty, our own frustration, our own limitation. Who am I that I should do such a thing as this? Now Moses took that a little too far. We'll not read that today, but you remember it from the fourth chapter of this book. He made every excuse in the rainbow, so to speak. I can't speak well. I can't go on my own. I can't do all of these things. Moses had not really learned the sixth point that we see here in verse 12. God said, certainly I will be with thee. It is only in that condition that we are even ready to entertain maintain the fact that we need God to be with us. I say again, we are speaking here of those who have come by experience. It is one thing to berate ourselves, so to speak. It is one thing to try to make other people feel and know how humble we are. It's another to realize in our own experience, as though no one else were around, I cannot do anything without Him. And so this is the time that we have to get to that place in order for these words to really mean anything to us. I will be with thee. We will never get to that place unless we are, figuratively speaking, barefoot before God and completely bared in His presence. Moses didn't readily lay hold of that, but we find that he did come to that place where he knew that he was going to be able to accomplish all of these things through God's strength. And then we come to number 7. And this one is in verses 13 and 14. Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. This is the place of revelation. We must know him before we go forth and accomplish what he wants to do. We must know him in for ourselves before we can even begin to testify of him unto other people. And so the revelation here is of the eternal God. It is even the revelation of Christ himself, as we find in the New Testament. If you remember, there were those in Jesus' time, you'll find in the 8th chapter of John. And Jesus had tried to tell them that he was indeed God. They just completely shut him out because of that. They wanted no part of that. And at one point they asked him, Well, did you know our father Abraham, thinking they had him? And Jesus said, Before Abraham was, I am. This is the revelation of the I am, the eternal God. I am yesterday. I am today. I am tomorrow. There is no time with God. It's always present with Him. I am. And all the day that we get a revelation of that, we know Him better than we ever did before. And so Moses heard these wonderful words as I am. Verse 12, I want to notice the sequel to all of this. I'm sure if you go through these chapters, you can add even more things that Moses learned while he was barefoot before God. But I want to see the sequel. In verse 12, he said, Certainly I will be with thee. This shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain. And that happened. You can see it in Exodus 32 and 33. You remember how Moses went up into the mount. God gave to him the law. And while he was receiving that law, Israel was down at the foot of the mountain breaking the first commandment, Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And God told Moses, He said, You need to get down there. There's trouble down at the bottom of this hill. And when Moses went down, he found them worshiping the golden calf. Moses had been in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. He went down to take care of that little situation, and then he went back up for another 40 days and 40 nights. And I'm sure you remember the story of how that he cried out to know, to see the glory of the Lord, and God made that known to him there. And when he came down from the mountain, his face shone with the glory of God. This again is what happens when we are in the very presence of the Lord. There is a change. This man who started out, as we found out there in front of the burning bush, on that special place that God had ordained there at the mount, Moses started there barefoot before God. But it ended up in glory. We not only see that, but you will also find him in the 9th chapter of Luke on the Mount of Transfiguration. Still the glory of God prevailing in his life. Moses was set apart. He was sanctified. He was made holy before God. This is what God has in mind for us. This same truth is pictured in another way, a beautiful illustration. Because if you'll remember, before Jesus was crucified the night before, he gathered the disciples together. And one of the last acts that he had with them, as he got a basin and he got a towel, he filled that basin with water, and he began to wash the disciples' bare feet. The same thing is true in our case. This is what happened to Moses as he was there with God in front of the burning bush. God was using the water of the Word to wash this man's feet. And Jesus does exactly the same thing for us. And it simply means that our walk is cleansed. It is set apart unto him by the power of God's Word. Let us go to 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, for just a little bit. 1 Thessalonians 5. God intends that we should be holy in his presence. That's what we found there with Moses. I, the Lord your God, am holy. Be you, therefore, holy. God did not accomplish that through the law, as we have already seen, but he will and does accomplish it. We saw it in Moses. It can also be true in our own experience. And so we read in verse 23 of this chapter, and the very God of peace. The God of peace is the power of the Holy Ghost that raised Jesus from the dead, as we find in other places. The very God of peace sanctify you. You see, the law could never and can never and will never sanctify even one person. But the power of the Holy Ghost will sanctify us through the operations of the Word of God. And so as we see here, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We can be in that same glorious place right along with Moses, as God prepared them and sanctified them and separated them apart, even unto himself, and also prepared them for glory. Let us close with the 3rd chapter of Colossians, where Paul gives us the same wonderful and glorious truth. Colossians 3. And again, I want to notice that it is up to us whether we are willing to stand barefoot before God or not. Whether we are willing to follow these same steps, these same things, learn the same lessons that Moses did. And so we begin in verse 1, if you then be risen with Christ. That's true of every person that has ever believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's an absolute fact. We've been raised up together with Christ. But Paul says, if you then be risen. What he's saying here, do you really believe that? Do you really believe that you have been raised up in newness of life with Christ? Well, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things. We found back in the Old Testament, God said, come. Come on. He told Moses, take off your shoes. Stand before me barefoot. Are we willing to do that? Because that's what it means. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. We cannot follow the path that we had with those previous shoes. Take them off. Be separated from the world, and indeed separated unto the things of God. You are dead, and your life was hid with Christ in God. Verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him. Exactly the same pattern that Moses had on the Mount of Transfiguration. Elijah was there. We know he went through the same. It's the same for all. God has a path for us to glory if we are only but willing to take it.